again, if you know me. I'm going to read the text to you. I'm going to preach from that. But before we hear from myself, I think we need to hear from God first. So I'm going to read the text to you. And the passage that I'll be using to preach this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. It's very, very familiar story. So just, if you want, you can close your eyes and just reflect on what the Bible is saying to us. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied. "For this is what the prophet has written, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel.' Then Herod called Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him.' After he had heard the king, they went on their way. The star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route." This is the word of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we can all gather in your name. Thank you for providing what we needed. And even though we may come with this with a different ideas or thoughts, and yet, Father, when you strip everything down, the most important thing for us is to worship, is to connect with you. Whether we are doing that in a wonderful building, wonderful worship team, or wonderful surrounding or atmosphere, you look at things very, very different than ours. And we pray that, Father, you will not let any external things to drag our attention so that we forget the reason why we're here is to worship. The reason why we're here is for you. You are the reason why we're here. And we pray that as we are about to hear your word, may your word take root in our hearts and help us to prepare ourselves as we are already into the Christmas season. Lord, we need to be prepared. We need to be ready so that we will not live life as if that is just another day, that is just another season. It is more than that. And we pray, Father, that you will use your word to strengthen us and draw us close to you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Good to see many of you. If I remember correctly, this is my first time here preaching in English. I was here last month, but I was preaching in Mandarin, which is something that I have to used to. But it's very, very nice to be here. And I had time to talk to some of you before worship. And it's good to know where you guys, and some of you, I'm not going to mention name. That person just said, "I just finished my exam." I'm happy for that person too. I want to go to the next slide. I think you know what that is, right? We have done that, not in this context, but I think we have done this similar thing in the past. This is called the Advent candle, okay? And If you know something about the Advent candles, you know that this is one of many different ways the church over centuries have done. This is what we call the visible way of reminding people so that we will be prepared as we enter into the Christmas seasons. You see that there are four candles, and then there is the white candle, which is called the Christ candle. So I'm not going to go into it because that is not my main point. But the picture is to remind you in a visible way that we are to prepare. We are to be reminded. I want to ask you two quick questions that you can only ask yourself, okay? Just answer this question yourself. The first question is this. Can you recall when were you being reminded of Christmas this year? When was it? What happened? Okay. When were you being reminded of Christmas? Or maybe you're being buried by so many different things that until this morning, oh, Christmas? Oh, yeah. We're in Christmas. I don't know where are you. But some of you, I suspect, you have been reminded already by different things, probably Costco or something. You know, for me, it was Costco. Every time when I go to Costco around beginning of September, you already see Christmas trees, Christmas light sold in Costco. So whenever I go to Costco, when I look at those sections, I'm being reminded, oh, Christmas, or Christmas is coming. So when did that happen to you this year? Okay. A follow-up question. Have you done anything to the reminder that you receive? Whatever that trigger, that memory, whatever that reminds you about the coming of Christmas, did you do anything in response? You know, my family and I have been living in Mississauga for more than 12 years now. And I can tell you, I have preached between 15 to 20 Christmas messages throughout these years. And this time when I was thinking about what I should share with you, I thought about Christmas. I thought about maybe I need to bring you a Christmas message because we are just so close. But then I have another thought. I have preached Christmas messages, especially among you guys, for so many years. Is there anything new? That was a question I have. I can use the same text. I can use, you know, if you know your Bible well, you know that there are only limited passages about Christmas in the Bible. You can go to the Old Testament. You can go to Matthew, you can go to Luke. That's it. So I have already preached between 15 to 20 Christmas messages over the 12 years. Many of them to you guys. So today I'm standing here. I wanted to bring you another Christmas message. And I was saying to myself, what can I say? Is there anything else? How can I excite you with another Christmas message, quote unquote? So I went to God. And I asked him, and I said, God, I know that you can do everything. I know that there's nothing that is impossible to you. I'm going to trust you with this message because I have used, as far as I can understand, I have used almost all the passages, especially in the New Testament, with regard to Christmas. So how can I bring anything new to the people that I'm going to share this coming Sunday? And after I prayed that prayer, and I started preparing, started asking myself what I'm going to preach, and eventually I land on this passage, Matthew 2, 1 to 12. And my experience, my personal experience is, God is indeed great. You can never put God in a box. You can never go anything beyond God. So this message that I'm going to share with you is a product of my experience about how great and how wise and how all-knowing God is. And even though I'm a pastor, I preach similar messages for so many times, and yet this time when I look into the same passage that I probably have used before, the thing is different. And I want to share this finding with you. So I'm going to use this text. You already know that the main characters are the Magi. And I'm going to work through the Magi that you see in the text. If you have a Bible, I encourage you to open it. And I'm going to work through him. I think God is working through the Magi through this passage to remind, not only to remind us, but also to work through the reminder to demand a response from all of us. You are being reminded about the Christmas season, no doubt. But God today wants to push that thing one step further. And he's asking us, okay, now that you're being reminded about the Christmas season, I want you to give a response. I don't want you to be a dummy. I don't want you to be a robot. Just being satisfied with being reminded. I want you to respond by showing signs that you're living, that you are having this communication with God. So this is where I'm coming from. And I want to give you three main ideas. Next slide. This is what I suggest that we can respond in this Christmas. Number one is, we will worship Jesus. Number two, we will search for Jesus in our lives. And number three, we will acknowledge Jesus in our lives. There's one thing I want to let you know, sort of like a background, as I was studying the passages. If you pay attention to the Magi, you will see three times in the message, in the passage, the Bible described the Magi saw something, and then they responded. And then the Magi saw something the second time, and then they responded. And then the Magi saw something the third time, and they responded. And that is where I got the idea of your response in this Christmas. The Magi saw something in three different times. And in each time that they saw something, they responded. They were not robots. They were not dummies. They responded to what they saw. And that makes the whole entire Christmas story so meaningful. So I'm going to walk you through that together so that you'll be appreciate what the Magi in the Bible time can still have something to teach us today. All right? So first, we will worship. That is our response. That is my suggested response to all of us as we are preparing ourselves for this Christmas season. We will worship Jesus. Where do I get that idea? If you take a look at your Bible, verses 1 to 2, this is what the Bible said. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw," the first saw, okay? "We saw his star in the east and respond, have come to worship him." And I want to let you know, the time when the Magi said this, they were already in Palestine. They were talking to King Herod. They live in today's Iran. They took more than 3-4 months to travel from Iran to Palestine. And when they asked this question to King Herod, they were standing in the soil of Palestine. They saw the star. They responded by saying, "We have come to worship him." You have to understand, the Magi in the Bible time, there's no indication that they were Christians. There was no indication in the text that says that they were converted. They were Gentiles. The only thing that we can relate is they were, some English translation used the word wise men. The Message Bible used the word scholar. So we know that they probably are wise people. They learn a lot. They probably know something or two about astrology. And somehow God gave them a sign through a star. And by looking at the star, they concluded that star is about the birth of a newborn king. And they make the way, instead of, "Oh yeah, that's good news, put it in the newspaper." They made a 4-month journey from Iran to Palestine. And the purpose, remember, we have no way of knowing they were Christians, but their intention of traveling so long, taking so much time, is just to come so that they can worship this newborn king. You and I are Christians. We're already in the season of Christmas. You're being reminded. Is your response one of, "I will worship the king"? Is it your response this year? That you will worship the king. This is no other king. This is not Prince George. This is not Prince Philip. This is King Jesus. How do we know about that he is king? Next slide. Matthew 1:1 and Matthew 1:17 tell us that Jesus is coming down the line of King David. And if you know something about genealogy, Matthew is trying to let you know that, you know, Jesus is actually in the royal line. That's why he is king. And one more thing, if you take a look at verse 17, you see three times, I highlight that in yellow, 14. Do you know why Matthew have to use the word 14 three times? Do you have any idea what 14 is? Do you know that Hebrew character can also be used as numbers? They are both characters and numbers. And the word 14 here is from the word David in Hebrew. The word David in Hebrew, if you turn those characters into numbers, the result is 14. So when Matthew said, thus there were 14 generations, if you are Jew reading this line, you know exactly Matthew is talking about David. There were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David. 14 from David to the exile, from the exile to Babylon, and then 14 from the exile to Christ. This is not coincidence. This is just Matthew's way of reminding his readers today, you are that readers, that Jesus, he is the descendant of King David. That's why we worship the king. We didn't just worship baby Jesus. We didn't just worship Jesus, my friend. No, here, right here is Jesus, the newborn king. And your appropriate or fitting response is to worship this king in the Christmas season. You have to understand, this is no any other king. This is the king who came to earth for us, who died for our sins on the cross. And he was raised 3 days later so that you and I today are worshiping or living with the living God. He has everything to do with all of us who profess to be Christians. He is not like King Philip. It's good to know that he is here, or Prince Charles, or it's good to know something about him, but he has nothing to do with us. This baby Jesus, King of the Jews, he has a lot to do with our faith, our life, and our future destiny. I hope you'll find enough reason to worship him. I have brought with me a book. We gave this book away 4 years ago, if you remember. This book, at the back of the book, say, why is Christmas such a big deal? I don't know whether you asked this question or not. And inside here, they say something like this. If you feel that Christmas has become nothing more than a source of emotional or financial stress, if somewhere along the line you lost the reason of the season, you need to read this powerful little book. All right? I'm not trying to sell this book. I'm just trying to say that for some of us who still not being convinced, who still in the cloud, you don't know why, you know, it's Christmas, so what? Then my suggestion to you is perhaps this book will be a good way to remind you why we celebrate Christmas as Christians. And after the worship, if you would be brave enough to walk up to me and ask for this book, I'm going to give this book to you for free. Okay? My purpose is to hopefully work through this book so that you'll be reminded once again there are reasons why we celebrate Christmas. And for those of you who may not like this book, it's okay. Go home and reread the Christmas stories in your Bible. And may those stories once again remind you that this is not just one of many seasons that we have to go through year after year after year. What is the big deal? Or things like this. It's a big deal to us. If you cannot see that this is a big deal, go home and read your Bible and let God's word remind you why this is such a big deal. Number two, this story also remind and encourage us to respond in this way. We will search for Jesus in our lives. Where do we see that? Take a look at chapter 2, verses 9 to 10. This is what the Bible says. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw, the second saw, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. They saw the star in the east first. Now that they are in Jerusalem, having talking to King Herod, and they were given permission by the king, go and find the king for me. And they were able to locate the king was being born in Bethlehem. But you have to understand, they're not from that area. They're from Iran. So how can they go from Jerusalem to Bethlehem? They need a guide. And God provided the same star to be their guide. And that's why when they saw the star, they were so happy. Why? Because the star continued to lead them to the exact house where they would be able to find, not baby, the child Jesus and his mother. They search from Bethlehem, from Jerusalem to Bethlehem with the help of the star they first saw in the east. That is how they found the child Jesus. And from there, we can see that, like the Magi, if we are to worship Jesus, we need to do a little searching. Do you know that? Especially for those of us who don't find any reason to worship Jesus this year. We need to do a little searching, because Jesus is not just somewhere up there in heaven. Jesus is everywhere. Jesus is actually alive in your life. All you need to do is just look into your life and try to find that Jesus, and you will find your personal reasons to worship him. I have a lot of reason to worship Jesus. As you know, we've been out at work. We're into our 6 months. There are two things that vividly reminds me that I should worship Jesus in this Christmas. Number one, I left Micmac on July 1st. But God started to work on June 1st. All right? 1 month, exactly 1 month before I left. God has been working since June 1st this year. And I didn't leave Micmac until July 1st. Within that 1 month, I saw literally how God worked. And as I said, I'm into my 6 months now. And I've been recording everything that God has done, either to me, to my wife, or to our family, to our children. I even took the time to tell my children. You can ask them too, to confirm. Every time when God is doing something, I will try my best to let them know. I will point those things to my girl and say, you see how God works? You see what God is doing now? You see, this is how God works. I explain things to them so that they too will be able to understand. Not just I understand. It is not enough for me to understand. I need my children to understand that God is working. God is not asleep. God is not on vacation. God is actually doing a lot of great things throughout the 6 months. And my recording is at the end of page 4. Lying paper, okay? That is so many things that God have done during these 6 months on our family. I have a lot of reason why I can worship Jesus in this Christmas. But the thing is, what about you? Can you look into your life and see the footprints, the fingerprints, the hair of Jesus? So that those personal experiences that you have, that is coming out from your life, will give you enough reasons to continue to worship him, especially in this Christmas season. You know that Jesus, he said this, next slide. In Matthew 24, 25, verse 40, this is what Jesus said. I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it to me. All right? Jesus is not just in the grand things. When I look at you guys, when I look at this auditorium, I don't know how you feel. Some people may feel, there's so little people. So many chairs, so little people. Or we're no longer worshiping in a church. We're worshiping in a gym. Can you imagine 1 year before you were worshiping God in the church? And 1 year later, you're worshiping God in the gym. Everything is so simple. Everything is so small. And sometimes you get discouraged. You don't want to even come to here to worship. I can feel your pain because I know what you're going through. But what I want to tell you is, just by sitting here worshiping God, do you know that you can worship God without being in a church? Do you know that God doesn't really care whether you have 500 people or 20 people? The most important thing is you worship Him. Do you know that there's a reason why God brought you guys here in the gym? So that some of you can do sports later. And there's enough room for the children. There's so many things that God is already doing among you. And if you take the time to reflect, and also on this point, I'm going to encourage all these adults. You have a better understanding of how God has been working, and you should be the one who take every single opportunity to explain to the young people, the children, how God has worked. Make those stories as often as possible. Let the children, let the young people know that if it is not God working for you in the past few months, you would not even be here today. Tell them those stories, because these are your life stories. These are your life experience. If you only one day come down to only one person worshiping here to Jesus, Jesus will be here too. Nobody said that you have to worship God in a church, even though hopefully we can. Nobody say that worship has to be done in 100 or more people. I want you to know from the Bible, God is the God of the less. God is the God of the weak. Not just the God of the strong. We may be weak. We may be small. But it never said that God cannot be with us. Go into your life. Go into this life, the life of this church, and look and try to find Jesus. Jesus is everywhere. If you do know how to look. And I call on all the adults. You experienced something. You saw something with your own eyes. Turn those stories to the young people, to the children, and educate them and help them see. Just like how I help my children see. God is doing great things every single week. And then you'll find reason to worship Him. Number three. We need to acknowledge Jesus in our worship. We need to acknowledge Jesus in our lives. Where do I see it? Verse 11. On coming to the house, they saw, the third time now, okay? They saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. This is the third time the Magi saw something, and they responded by present not only worshiping God, but they also responded by presenting three gifts. Now, there are different people telling you there are different meanings about gold, different meanings about the frankincense, but I like this quote I received from the NIV Study Bible. They said, all these three items of gifts, they are gifts fit for the king. And to me, that means the whole world. These gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, they are gifts fit for the king. Today we talk about worshiping Jesus the King. What kind of gifts will you give him?
Do you come to worship him empty-handed? Do you know that? Next slide. In Deuteronomy 16:16, it is a requirement from God that every time when you come to worship him, you cannot come to worship him empty-handed. That means without any gifts. You have to bring a gift when you come to worship God. You may be thinking, why? Does God need something? Does God lack anything? No. I do some thinking and ask, why do we have to bring something with us in worship? Why the Magi have to present gifts to the king? I come away with the following thing. The gifts, behind the gifts, is the Magi's respect King Jesus. The gifts are the tangible way to show King Jesus that the Magi respected the king. That's why they brought the gifts. Another thing is, the same gifts also represent their acknowledgement that Jesus is that newborn king. It's that acknowledgement that is important. Today, when you give a gift, when you come to worship, your gifts acknowledge Jesus is the king of your life. You also show that you respect the king. You come to worship the king. You bring gifts, and your gifts speaks of respect and acknowledgement. Never come to worship with an empty hand. Give something. What can I give? Well, there's so many things you can give. I can give you tons of examples. I'll give you a few. Why not give King Jesus the gift of going to bed early Saturday night? So that Sunday morning when you get up, you're up and running, you're ready to worship. Why not give the gift of committing your Sunday to Jesus so that you will worship him on Sunday? You don't do anything else, any other thing else. Put him in a priority. Don't let anything crowd out your schedule. Open up Sunday. Sunday is him. And use Sunday as a gift when you come to worship. Jesus is not just after your money. Jesus is also after your time. You know that? Your time, in some ways, is more precious than the little money that you give to him. Because the time that you give to God, you cannot take it back. The money you give to him, you can still earn it back. But the time that you give to Jesus, you will never be able to take it back. It's gone. That's why your time is more precious than your money. Why not come to worship whether you like it or not? Whether there are 5 people worship or 10 people worship or 50 people worship. Don't care about how many people. But remind yourself why you're here. I am here to worship Jesus. I'm not just here to see my friends, even though it would be nice. I'm not just here to play in a gym, even though it's nice. But I am here whether people come or not. Whether I have service or not. I'm here to worship. Those are the gifts that only you can give. And the Magi gave what they could. What can you give to Jesus when you come to worship him? Jesus worth your worship. I don't think anyone would disagree with me. But the thing is, what do you bring with you? Do you find new reasons to continue to worship him? Or are you still using the 5-year-old, 10-year-old's, 50-year-old reason? You don't have any more recent reasons to come? I come here with fresh reasons that I have experienced in the past 6 months. And I'm sure in some way you also have your fresh experience in your life that you see the fingerprints or footprints of Jesus. And those reasons are enough for you to come to worship him. We're already in the season of Christmas. You have already been reminded many, many times that Christmas is here, Christmas is here, even though we're not talking about Christmas Day. That is not the actual birthday of Jesus. You know that. But we are still in that mood of thinking about Jesus worshiping about Jesus. We want this season to be Jesus. Okay? So let's get ready. And don't just stop as being reminded. Learn from the Magi. Give some responses. Respond to being reminded. And may that response that you give be fitting to the King. He is not just the baby Jesus. He's not just your friend. He's not just your Savior. He is your King. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for giving us this opportunity to reflect on why we're here. You're so rich. You're so many faces. There's nothing that can accurately describe who you are. And we're so thankful for that. Father, may you once again give us the fresh encounter with yourself. Help us to know that you're alive and well, and you're alive and well in each of our lives. And because of that, there are new reasons for us to come together in your name. There's new reason for us to come together to worship. We'll never grow tired of worship because you're such a beautiful God. And more than that, you're not just a baby, you're not just a Savior, you're not just a friend. You're the King. And we are the sons and daughters of the King. May you once again not only remind us of this privilege that we have with you, may you also challenge us to respond to being reminded, just like what we saw in the Bible, the Magi. They saw three times, and each time the Bible described them, they saw something, they responded. May we be those people who are being reminded, after being reminded, we respond by worshiping you. Thank you for giving us the message, and thank you for being here with us. In Jesus' name, amen.